Morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How is everyone?
Good.
Good. Just waiting for everyone to join here. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think we're almost there.
Hey.
Chair looks really comfortable, Jared.
Finally got this new man cave starting to get set up.
Nice. Is that your napping chair?
Yeah, it's my napping chair.
Nice.
All right. Let's get rolling. Britton, you'll probably join us any minute here.
Cool. All right. So, like we talked about in the email, we're going to go one personal best, one professional best. We're going to go around as a group, make it quick. This doesn't have to be like a drawn out thing. We just want to kind of ice break and then celebrate the wins together that we've had for the last week. So I'll start just so you kind of get an idea how this goes. It's probably going to be new for a lot of people. Professional best, just had record week last week for me personally, since I've been back in practice for 2 years after my injury. So that's always fun. We know we're serving big when we're seeing this many people. My personal best is my little girl and I have been taking a lot of four-wheeler rides, and it's very fun to do the new rope swing and, you know, just enjoying that time with a three-year-old is awesome. So let's just go around and we'll just get it going.
Professional best this week or last week. I met several people. One was a Leewood Rotary member, so I got to be part of, or I got to be a guest at a Rotary meeting. So that was pretty interesting. Met a lot of cool people that do a lot of stuff for the community. And then personal, over the weekend, I got to spend some time with my godson, so that was pretty fun.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Either word. Yeah.
Be easy that way to just.
You just call us up. Right.
Yeah.
Is it me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just go for it, man. Yeah, this is informal.
Okay. So I would say, so professional best was, so this was actually my second week where I saw over 100 patients by myself. And then I would say personal best was we finally got to open the homemade wine we made last year. So cracked that open this weekend, and it's tasting delicious.
Nice. I love that.
What kind of wine is it? A white or red?
It's a red. So we mixed it. We did it's a Merlot, like Zinfandel kind of. It's delicious. It's unbelievable.
Nice. Good for you.
That's awesome.
Dustin.
Professional best this past week, I had two new patients that came in. I closed both of them. And then personal, I just started a new book. It's Dean Graziosi's book, The Underdog Advantage. And just delving into that now is pretty good stuff.
Good.
Awesome.
So did they sign plans?
Yes, both of them did. Yep. It was actually, a boyfriend and girlfriend. They had moved back from Washington recently to the area, and she came in and I got her on a plan, and then she referred her boyfriend in and then him as well. So they both paid up front for both plans. And the girl, I included all the supplements and some of the therapies and things. So that was kind of a first for me, because we've been trying to push more of the supplements and like the products, the cervical orthosis and things like that.
Awesome.
Nice. Congrats.
Yeah, good job.
Jared.
Professional best this last week and a half. Same kind of thing as far as sales goes. Closed 3 different plans in the week and a half, and this has been a record month for me, so it's always good to see. Personal best, finally getting settled into this new house and getting some boxes unpacked, so it's starting to actually look like a home. So, yeah.
Sweet. Josh. You're.
You got no audio.
All right. While you're figuring that out, let's go with Luke, as he's drinking.
Okay. Of course. Personal best this week. My amateur baseball team came back from being down 10 runs to win our first round of state, which isn't the important part. The important part is our next game is played at the small town field that my grandpa grew up playing on. So, and he is the reason why I play baseball. So get to play on his field in tiny little Milroy, Minnesota next Saturday.
Cool.
So there's that. And then I think professional wise, I think I just had my third week in a row of patient visits over my average before the Corona stuff. So nice to be back to where things were before and pushing forward. So, and this week is already on pace to be higher.
Thanks, man. That's awesome.
Brittany, welcome. How's it going?
Hi. I'm so bad at Zoom. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No worries.
Hello.
So the question is personal best and professional best since our last call. Well, two good things that happened, one in each category.
I guess this would be personal and professional. Friday was my last day at my old job, so now I can move on from there and move on to my new one. It was surprisingly my last day. They didn't have me finish out my notice that I gave them. So.
Okay.
It was good.
How did you feel about that?
Not good, because I gave them extended notice on purpose so that I can help them out. And then they basically were just like, oh, well, we hired someone new, so we don't need you to help train. And I really struggled giving them notice. So that was kind of annoying, but fine. I'm on to something better.
Bigger and better things, baby.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. So, you know, it's awesome to hear everybody killing their the last 2 weeks is really cool. So I'm just glad we get to share that part together. So what we want to do, what's the biggest takeaway from the last time that we all got together? This is all new. We're just getting going. And if there's anything that you've used in your practice or your life so far, has anybody started a morning ritual? I didn't receive a lot of the goal setting stuff. I had two out of the group. So that's something that I really, really want to see immediately before we speak next. Because it's going to morph how this is kind of going to go initially, especially. So what's the biggest takeaway from last time? We had a lot of cool stuff going on. And we'll just do a round robin. So we'll go Dustin. Anything happen? Or did you add anything from the last chat? Did anything stand out to you? What have you used?
Yeah, the one thing that stood out to me was doing a shortened version of a report of findings after the re-exam. I didn't get into a lot of that as much as I should have, as far as just trying to touch base where the patient was on their progress exams. And so now I'm making it a point to kind of really almost do a shortened down version of a report of findings or report of tests after their progress exam. So just kind of going over those findings, comparing it to last time. We do the surface EMG scan. So just kind of really sitting down and going over that again so they get an idea of how they're progressing.
Re-exam is such a critical part for a lot of you guys. Said last time that some people were having a problem changing a person from acute care to wellness care. And that extra, if you can, 15 minutes is all you're going to need tops. And if you crush that report of findings, you'll see your PVA just skyrocket throughout the course, because you're going to keep touching the points here with them. Did you do new goals too?
I did not do that.
Okay. So what did you do? So this is,
just went over their progress essentially. This wasn't the third progress where I was trying to get them into the maintenance. This was progress one and two, kind of within the acute care plan, but just kind of pointing out the big differences in their scans and relating back to their first exam as far as their range of motion and tests. And we did implement – recently we did implement what we call a lifestyle survey too, which is what we've tripped with Jay in the past, is really getting down to you know, why they're there in the office in the first place, not just the pain, but how it's affecting their sleep and energy and work and hobbies. So we have them fill out a survey on the first visit now where they circle the number 1 through 10. And so we have them refill that out. So now we're really sitting down and going over that instead of just focusing on the symptoms, but how it's affecting their lifestyle.
What visit does that happen on first re-exam?
So typically, most of our care plans we do 6 and 12.
Okay. So at 6 visits, then we do a re-exam?
Yep, that's a progress exam 1, and then after, and then roughly around 12 visits after kind of the initial phase 1, then we'll do another one.
Did you ask for a referral or anything like that?
So we're in the process of making the form even more in depth, where on the bottom of the form we have a space where they can put a referral, and then we kind of have a script to talk about. If they leave it blank, then we can kind of discuss it in that well. But yeah, we haven't implemented that yet, but we're in the process.
This is like one of the biggest referral getters. I know Dr. J is going to agree because he's the one that taught me this 5 years ago. Well, whenever they sit down and I always say, hey, before we have a re-exam chat, we're going to go, I want you to think of one thing that went really well and then potentially one thing that could have went better. And then when they sit down, you go through your report, hey, bang, 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 you did great here. We got a little room for improvement here. Obviously, what would be good for you from your end? Oh, well, I'm sleeping better, doctor. I'm not having any headaches anymore. Oh, my God, that's so great. You got to script this stuff out. You say, this is so great. Give them a high five, however your personality is. Is there anybody else in our community you think might be able to benefit from the care that we have here? Of course. Well, can you do me a favor? I've never asked you for anything, right? So I'm going to ask you for something today. I want you to, you can either do it through the cards or you can do it through referral or the, so get them to leave an online review. If you can leave a review, everybody's making their decisions for everything they do these days based offline. So if you could go online and just write a quick review, that would be great. And then we would give them two cards and like, hey, look, these are two cards. I want you to give these two people that you think might be able to benefit from what we got going on here. And that man, oh my God, I cannot tell you just that little conversation for 2 seconds, 30 seconds, how much you're just going to get referrals coming through that door. So that's really cool that you've already gotten, you know, the basic, but man, that's a killer time right there. Right, Dr. J?
Yeah, it's called the law of reciprocity. When you help someone get achieve what they want, they naturally feel inclined to do the same thing for you. So if someone comes in and they're experiencing some sort of health challenge and you help them get well, they're naturally going to want to help you. But they won't unless you ask. You'd be surprised how many even wonder whether you're taking new patients. Can't tell you how many times I heard that. Doc, you're seeing new patients? Now, I was obviously very busy. I was seeing 125 people a day. Maybe that's where that was coming from. But I was like, yeah, we're always taking new patients. You know, if it's not me, certainly one of our great other docs. So you have to ask, but you also need to have systems in place to remind you when to ask. By the way, quickly, Josh, is your mic working?
No, I hope so.
Now? Yeah, can hear you now. Okay, so sounds good. All right, got you on here. Good, Dr. Eddie.
Yeah, so let's just transition around. It's awesome, Dustin. Good work, man.
Thank you.
So maybe, Luke, we'll just go down the line here.
Awesome. I got to unmute it. So what was the original question?
The biggest takeaway from the last time we spoke? Something that maybe you've already used in practice or your life. It doesn't have to be in practice in general.
Sure. One thing that we actually talked about during our doctor meeting yesterday was the part of new patients come from you, not to you, and then also how to track that a specific way. So we have two docs that work at our clinic full time, three that are actually here total, but we haven't always been tracking. We track new patients, but not exactly which funnel they kind of come from. Like we have it from our networking groups, our community groups, all that stuff, but we're trying to differentiate that even further as far as, does it come from Dr. Kramer's efforts? Does it come from my efforts? Does it come from Dr. Dohmeyer? To kind of break it down to see where everybody's doing individually, just to kind of help with our stats wise.
So it's a great stat, but what are we going to do with the stat?
What are we going to do with it? So
why is it important?
because it kind of reflects every individual's efforts as far as continuing to bring new patients into the clinic. So it's almost an accountability thing as far as...
What's the base acceptable bottom? Did we set a goal?
Did we? Yeah. So it's kind of based on a percentage. So when I got here almost 2 years ago, I think we were around 28 to 30 new patients a month. We've bumped that up to 40 over the last year, and that was our goal. And now my personal goal is within that, I want 50% of those new patients to be from me. Because beforehand, it was from more of just the practice reputation that's been here for almost 20 years. So now it's more, I want to get my percentages up to show that I'm creating that kind of vacuum and cycle back to the clinic.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you guys, is there like any incentive? I don't know how you guys structure or is there an incentive for the associates to bring in new patients or no?
Nope. Okay. No, there used to be before I got here.
Okay. They just knew you were going to be a rainmaker and they had to quit, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, cool. All right, so let's go to Corey.
So Dr. J and I used to talk every Tuesday there for a while, and it was like, you know, it was a refresher every week of things that I need to be doing. So I'd say 2 weeks ago when we met, it was almost, it was that refresher again. So it kind of got my feet back under me, you know, wanting to be better, you know, each and every day, trying new things, being more confident. That's one thing that I've just been solely focusing on lately is just being more precise with what I say, speaking with more, you need to do this instead of maybe we should try this, just being firm with what I want to do. And it's just like over this past week is what I've noticed. I've had a few reported findings where patients have just been like, okay, they just don't even like ask questions. They're like, this is what we're doing, doc. So that's been really nice.
It's a whole lot easier when they accept care the first time, right?
Yeah, it is. And it just, it's not that hard. You just be confident and firm.
I'm going to call you out a little bit, Dr. Jared. Me and Dr. Jared, actually, me and him, you know, he's with us. And the certainty aspect of this thing, they came to you for a reason. They have a problem. They don't know how to fix it. They don't know what the problem is most times or even where it's coming from. They've done some Dr. Google, so they have maybe some diagnosis, but it's way over here in left field most times, right?
Right.
I have one lady came in and she had a brain tumor. She had all kinds of things, and all she had was some upper cervical work she needed to get done. You know, so it's really cool whenever we're so certain in what we're doing and how we're going to go about it, and not saying because we're not doing it for us. Because whenever we start doing that, we're thinking about it from us. What would you know? How would I accept it or whatever? That's you got to take ourselves out of the equation. Like me and Dr. Jared have worked on is it's not about us anymore. It's about that person in front of us and what do we got to do to pour into them, but let them know that we know what we're talking about and this is how they're going to get to where they need to be, you know? So that's really cool to hear already too.
Yeah.
Good work.
Yeah. That's pretty simple.
Yeah. It's a whole lot easier said than done sometimes though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Cool. All right, Doc Jared, what do you got?
Well, this is my first call, but I got some of the reviews from last time. And I think like you're saying there, the biggest thing is being able to take yourself out of the equation. You know, what does the patient need and not being afraid to tell them what they do. I actually had a patient come in this last week, severe PTSD. Everything's their fault. You know, they caused everything and they almost didn't go in the room to even consult with me right away because they don't trust chiropractors. And so kind of along the same lines of Corey, just went in the room, you know, confident, clear. And by the time we were done, patient was like, all right, yeah, I trust you, you know. So being able to kind of just see that, being able to give my explanation confidently and having them trust me, you know, when they're about to walk back out the door was just kind of, that's pretty big.
Cool, man. That's good. There's a lot of bad stuff sometimes surrounded by chiropractors for various reasons. And it's hard to break that wall down if they already had that bad experience, but it's such a necessity for these guys and their health, you know? All right, Dr. Dino. I just love saying that name.
So I would say I probably in the past 2 weeks, I've been managing my time a heck of a lot better. we had one of the doctors ended up calling off work yesterday. And so it was just me and one other doctor, and it was a full schedule, and somehow we pushed through it. I have no idea how, but I was able to manage my time a lot better, kind of slow down on talking with patients, just kind of getting to the nitty gritty, what needed to be done, and, you know, keep moving forward. So we really didn't have any increased wait times yesterday, which was surprising. And yeah, so I mean, pretty much trying to nip that in the butt right now to prevent it from getting worse in the future.
What do you mean, from like just casual conversation to?
Yeah, because like I enjoy talking, and like a lot of my patients, we just kind of chit chat, and it's just like you can't do that when you're in the clinic that I'm at. So it's like I want to feel like I'm there for the patients, but I'm not trying to push them out the door, you know. Right. So I'm trying to find that fine line of communication, but also let's go. I have to go.
Yeah, it's a funny game you got to play with that sometimes too, right? Yeah. Because we don't want to feel, or then to feel rushed, but you know, like what I'd started to do, because I felt like that, because I started getting high volume very quick, is I put there's a little circle on the door jams of all three rooms I'm out of, bang, 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 and I'll go to this thing, and I'll touch this circle, so then I'm present, and I'm locked in, and then when I go in that room, yeah, you're still going to have those people, hey, how's the weather, how's the football team, how the Packers doing, whatever it might be, but it just keeps you kind of dialed in and say, hey, I'm in this room for 3 to 5 minutes or whatever your time frame is. And when that 3 to 5 minutes is over, I'm giving you a high five and I'm leaving, whether I leave the file on the desk or I leave the file at the front or you walk out with me.
Okay.
You know, because a lot of times, even older doctors, Dr. J can relate, because we've talked a lot of the same people, is you're doing the time for you. Like, that makes you feel good. Like, 5, 10, 15 minutes in a room. But one day, my wife, I adjust her in 3 minutes. And if I'm concerned about anybody's health in the world, it's hers.
Yeah.
So if I can take 3 minutes to adjust her, but I got to take 15 minutes to adjust the next guy, you know,
exactly.
It's kind of not a good place to be.
Yeah.
Cool. The biggest challenge for young docs, I've experienced this countless times, is justifying their value. And so we think in time value essence, that the more time we spend with the patient, the greater sense of value that they receive. That's a lie. And if there's one thing you can take away from today's call, is people don't pay you for your time. They pay you for the results that you deliver. If you can give them an adjustment in 10 seconds and turn their life around, they don't give a shit. They really don't care, right?
Yeah.
So, but early on, guys, we're not very confident because we haven't had the experience yet. We haven't had the clinical feedback at this point to be confident. Know that you know that when you adjust somebody, you're making a structural and physical and emotional and psychological change for them. Until you get to that knowing point, then you try to justify it by spending more time and having conversations, which you're a social being, and I totally get that. But they don't really, they're not paying you to be your friend. Now, we should be friendly, right? And warm and engaging, but they're there for your clinical skills, your knowledge, your experience, and your expertise. That's what they're paying for. So I can't tell you how many guys that I've seen take 10, 12, 15 minutes with a patient. You're never going to grow a practice that way because now you're locked in at a certain capacity. What happens when people want to get in and they can't because you don't have the capacity, because all your patients have grown accustomed to these 12, 15 minute visits. And now you're going to cut them in half and they're going to go, wait a second, doc's getting busy. I guess I'm not that important anymore. And that's how they think. So you start from the beginning as if, in other words, don't start doing 15 minute romance visits because you've got the time. You start, if you want to build, let's say you want to see 8 people an hour. So that's 2 every 15 minutes. See them in 7.5 minute increments and be disciplined not to go beyond that. Because if you go beyond that, again, you're only killing your own capacity growth.
Well, and that's a good thing too, because whenever I first got out, I had extra time, and you know, I'm a talker, man. You'll know that about me. And so we were shooting the shit a lot of the times. And now, as I started to get busy, that exact thing happened. So I had a couple people fall off of care my first year because I think I was getting busier and they didn't understand why it was a lesser time frame in the room. And what I did, I actually scripted this into my ROTs, and I still use it. And Dr. Jarrett's probably heard me say it. is after we get through the ROT and we've already decided the care plan, like you've already told me you're in, right? I'd say, hey, this is what I'm going to need from you going forward. Whenever I come into the room, I want all of your personal belongings. Go ahead and put on my table here. I want you to get ready to go face down on the table so we can go ahead and get you prepared for the amazing adjustment you're about to have. And so that eliminates, because, you know, some of the times the hardest part is to get them from their butt off the chair to get them on the table for the treatment. And they're talking and they're doing this. And, oh, yeah, come on, let's get over here. You know, you don't, it's just such a struggle. And that could be 3 minutes. That could be a whole patient visit, you know. And so go ahead and pre-framing them what to expect. Like, what are your expectations going forward? This is what I expect from you when I walk in the room. If all your things aren't on the table, I think that we're going to have to reschedule this appointment because we have a bigger conversation to have, because something must have happened, you know? And if anything ever happens down the road, whenever you call the staff, please let them know that you've had a fall, that you've had a motor vehicle accident, that something's happened. So then we can put extra time in for you to make sure that we get the care that we need. So you already kind of, you're programming them to know that, hey, stuff's on the table when he comes in here. I need to be ready on the table or getting towards the table whenever he walks in the door so he can hit that button or whatever you guys got, and it's game on.
No. The other option, too, is you can have people, if you're comfortable, is have your patients go in and set themselves up and be face down. You know, I just tell them, you know, go relax. Take a few minutes by yourself. Just go on the table, sit down, relax. I understand with the COVID thing, it may be a little difficult. Something to think about moving forward.
Yeah.
Nice. Thank you.
Well, Brittany, we kind of been transitioning out of practice, so I'm curious to hear what yours was going to be.
Well, kind of what we basically were just talking about. I didn't realize how much I talked about nothingness with my patients, because not only did I adjust them, but they would do like 30 to an hour of therapies there. So there was a lot of time for me to just like chat. And the last 2 weeks, I didn't realize like just like how much of that was going on. So it was good to just keep like recognize that and realize that that needs to be cut down, especially when I change practices and I'm not going to be watching therapies for an hour. There's just not going to be that happening. So that was good to just recognize.
And then I'm sorry, Brent, I just want to have a quick question. So in your previous office, you would stay with the patient the entire time, all the way through therapies and adjustment, and then rotate that way?
Yeah. Okay. It was just like an open floor. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're moving to a lot better situation.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that. Dr. Josh.
I'm trying to thank the professional thing, right? That kind of thing that we've implemented from last week.
Yeah. Or life. It doesn't have to be professional. It could be personal.
Oh. Right now, I'm just trying to get my my personal schedule set. My my 4-month-old kind of runs the show right now. So that's the big thing for me, is trying to get that set, but I can see how that relates and kind of into my office visits as well too. We are trying to grow and set up more things within the office. So I know that my time needs to be more intentional with exactly what I'm doing and how I'm spending that with the patients as well too. So our new patients are growing and therefore, I need to have more time for all that and for my current patients too.
Sure, so, Josh, fine line where, when you're playing the dad job and the doctor job. It's kind of like one of these, right? Especially with a young child, it's hard to figure out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Josh, where do you see efficiency issues in your schedule? Where are you either
blocking
not
the time for me?
Okay.
So my personal time? For business stuff and personal time, yeah. It's just like I have just kind of like stretched myself to everybody except for me.
Got it. So I'm going to share with you guys in the next follow-up email, maybe if we have 2 minutes before we end today's call, the path to productivity, teach you about block scheduling, you know, prioritize time, and we can go over that for sure. I just want to make mention too is, you know, because mindset precedes success, and how we speak will determine the results we get. So I hear often, not just from you guys, but I hear from people all the time. I hear this word, you know, we're trying to do something. And what I'm encouraging you to do is be, Josh, you mentioned about being intentional. Be intentional with your words as well, too. When you say try, you give yourself literally a subconscious out. Because, well, I tried it. If I didn't get the results, I didn't get the results. Okay? Affirm what you're doing. So in this case, Josh, right, I am becoming more efficient with my schedule, right? Mm-hmm. I am becoming more effective in my patient communication. So every time you say try, it's like, well, it's not an affirmation. It's not a commitment you're making. So if you can eliminate the word try, and when you're talking about your intention, what you're working on, affirm it as you're doing it. I am, right? I'm becoming more efficient my time. I'm becoming a better communicator. You know, I'm creating more value, that kind of thing. Subtle, but really, really powerful, because words create energy, and energy then begets action. So if the word is not empowering, and try is definitely not an empowering word, the likelihood of getting the result you want is greatly diminished.
Yeah. Affirmations. That's awesome. Well, we're going to start. So now we're going to transition over to some of the stuff we're going to start on. And after we talked last time, it doesn't seem like, correct me if I'm wrong, anybody's got a real set like morning routine where we get up, we work on ourselves. I know Dr. Josh got a four-month-old, a little different game he's playing right now. But what are we doing to set ourselves up? Because what I've found, and hopefully you read too, is you have to grow yourself to grow your practice. So if we're not growing ourselves, our practice is going to hit this level, and we're never going to overcome this level because we're the same person. We haven't grown, right? Because our energy is going to resonate higher. We're going to show up better. We're going to show up more consistent whenever we're working on ourselves. And that's obviously going to transition into our practice as well. So I guess I want to know, what's the biggest struggle you guys have with creating a morning ritual? I know Dr. Luke said he was 50% consistent at best last time. Correct me if I'm wrong. I wrote some notes when we were chatting. What's going to transition the people that are on the call that aren't doing anything currently? That the vision, I think, since we talked about that in the last email, and I didn't get any, I got two back. So please write your visions down, because the visions are going to think, that's the thing that's going to wake you up in the morning. Your purpose is going to wake you up. It's going to get your butt out of bed. It's going to say, hey, this is why I'm doing this today. This is why I'm waking up 30 minutes early to work on myself. This is why it's important, kind of thing. And then we use that as leverage every day to make sure it becomes a habit and a routine. And I can guarantee you, just by starting the transition and working on ourselves a little bit more and taking that time for us, you'll see leaps and bounds, the growth in their personal and professional life, which is, they go together, you know? So I guess, what's the struggle? What do we just not know where to start? Do we not have the time? Because hopefully that's not going to be it. You know, where are we at with that, guys?
So I didn't realize, I guess I do have a morning routine, because I do wake up every day and I do work out, because I just know the difference of like not working out before working. It's just mentally I'm not in the right mind space. So I always make time to do that. I guess I was thinking of more like a morning routine, like for, I don't know, to get ready.
Let me rephrase this.
It does get ready for work. I don't know.
Let me rephrase. I'm an exercise junkie. After you get to know me, you'll understand that. We're going and we're working out in the morning. We're working out these muscles, right?
But for me, that like gets me, like that's my de-stressor. So it gets me prepared for the day.
I am so with you right now, because if I didn't have working out, I probably would have committed murder at some point. But what are we doing for the 6 inches besides that? Are we writing down our affirmations? Are we writing down things we're grateful for? Because whenever you write things down and you're intentional with that, then it's actually going to transition into your reticular activating system is going to be increased. So then we actually are making a change here, you know, a permanent change. You with me?
Yeah, I do more weekly then, not daily.
Okay. So are we not grateful every day?
I guess not.
I'm just messing with you. Just try it. Every day, I do it in the morning. My wife does it at night before bed. It doesn't really matter, but as you start, because whenever we're transitioning jobs, or we got a lot of stress going on because maybe we're not where we want to be right yet, because you're just getting rolling, it sounds like. the things that we can anchor on every day that we're grateful for, whatever that is. And it has to be specific, but it has to be something. And just write three. Maybe write one thing we're grateful for that happened today, one great thing we're grateful for, maybe one relationship. And then one thing we're grateful for that hasn't happened yet. And that's the thing that's going to draw all that good stuff to us. So just try it out. And I guarantee you it's going to be a game changer, because I hated this idea, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it, and I fought it. But you cannot live in uncertainty. You cannot live in fear. You cannot not live in negativity whenever we're focusing on the grateful, all the things we have to be grateful for. We run the rat race of life sometimes, and we get kind of blurred vision or tunnel vision, and we don't see the beautiful leaves changing in the fall, or that great patient, that whatever it is, you know. So just try to be more intentional with the thought patterns, please.
Guys, some of you know the story, some don't know the story, but back when I was where you guys are at, a long time ago, I was in chiropractic to make money. And I came out of school, you know, I had a lot of student debt, you know, and relative speaking, it was as much as you have relative for the times. And I had a little girl and, you know, and mouths to feed and not two nickels to rub together. My sole focus was, how can I make money fast and get out of debt? We needed a car. You know, you guys understand this, right? You have rent you got to pay. You got to put food on the table. It's life, right? And my sole focus simply was just to go in there and do everything. And I struggled. I struggled mightily. And the reason I struggled, because I made it about money and I didn't make it about a passion or purpose. And that's quite remarkable, considering Dr. Josh knows I had one of the greatest chiropractic mentors in history. One of the most, I probably don't even speak to it. Dr. Josh could, because, you know, he knew the man. He built one of the biggest practices in the world. People from all the world used to come here for care. He taught all over the world. When it comes to passion and purpose, no one lived it like he did. He never had a bad day. Chiropractic was his number one love. Admittedly, it was his number one love. And I realized that if I was going to have anywhere near the level of success that he had, I had to change. And what I found out was, is that, you know, that didn't happen by accident. It happened by creating a routine and mental process, right? What I call, you can call it, you know, gymnastics for your mind. So just like we train our body to maximize, you know, muscle growth and weight management, we got to do the same thing for our mind. And so I realized there are these habits of success that begin to remold and reshape our minds, because each and every one of us on this call have certain limiting beliefs, things that we've been told that we accepted as truth, or that we've adopted ourselves. Some of you don't believe in yourself. Someone told you you weren't good enough. Or someone told you that money was bad and people who make money are evil and they're rich and they steal. And so you have a poor relationship with money. And yet some of you don't love yourself, because one of the biggest issues we're dealing with this country right now is a lack of self-love, because no one will go out and treat any other human being if they love themselves, because you don't treat other people that way if you loved yourself. So there's a lack of self-love. Whatever the issue is, unless we're intentional in working on these things, we are never going to change. And if we don't change, the world around us doesn't change, because our world is a reflection of who we are. So I began to understand and study these 8 habits of success, and I incorporated them into a routine, into a life process. In fact, I wrote a book on it, right? And so those 8 habits are dreaming. So you guys are young and you're healthy and you're, you know, you got your entire future. dreaming at this point, hopefully you guys, is not hard. You're still thinking, hey, I want to have that house on the ocean and, you know, have my kids come there and spend the summers there, or whatever your dream is, right? I want to build the largest wellness clinic in the world with all these, you know, complimentary service, whatever your dream is. Hopefully you're dreaming, because dreaming sparks the possibility inside you, a spark in you that asks the question, what's possible? And only unless you ask that question are you even capable of thinking way bigger beyond than what we already do think. So dreaming's one of them, right? So number two is mentors. This is what we're doing. This is why we put this program together, to learn from other people that have gone before us. We can learn from their mistakes, their lessons, so our success can be exponential compared to me. I mean, it took me a long time to figure it out. I'm kind of slow, right? But my mentors are the one helped brought me on and brought me up to speed. So mentors. Number three is authenticity. You guys got to be who you are. Be true to that. Okay. Don't try to be Jay. Don't try to be Eddie. Don't try to be whoever. Just be the best version of you. But again, that requires the work and the effort. And that's what we're going to teach you. Number four, is gratitude. Dr. Eddie just mentioned. You can't be in gratitude and fear at the same time. It's impossible to have two opposing thoughts. So when you stay in a mindset of gratitude, when you're staying in a consciousness of gratitude, gratitude is the fuel for abundance. And abundance is what attracts all the good things, all the good people into your life. So what Dr. Eddie was talking about, every day you need to start your day with some sort of gratitude. Gratitude just for being alive, for having, you know, for being healthy. You know, having parents or whatever you're grateful for, your dog, I don't really care. Just be grateful for something, because the more you're grateful for, the more you receive. That's the way it goes. Now, number five is values. We're going to help you identify what your core value system is, because the number one source of success is living congruent with your value. When we live outside our values is when we're living an incongruent life, is when we create all sorts of stress, because we're living opposite to what's innate in our heart. Okay. Then we've got, Dr. Eddie mentioned affirmations. You guys have heard me say, studies show we have about 60,000 thoughts a day, and over 80% of them are negative, which means we're constantly reprogramming our subconscious mind with negative thoughts. Man, this patient's never going to buy this plan. You know, I don't think I can get this upper cervical to move. They'll never refer a patient to me. We keep reprogramming these thoughts in our mind, and what Dr. Eddie was talking about, the particular activating system, we create this loop in our subconscious mind. And the more we have these thoughts, thinking of it as a cable, becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And as the brain fires, it wires. And the more we have the same thoughts, it fires the same patterns, and it strengthens those bonds. And what these eight habits do is they break the linkage of those old repeat habits and belief systems. So we can create new ones and replace them with different thought processes. That's what the eight habits do, is it changes your old wiring by creating new, but it's got to be intentional. And then, of course, meditation. Meditation is the greatest, most effective form to get you into your subconscious mind, into a theta mindset, to create new linkages and new belief systems. That's why visualization, when you're meditating, is so powerful, because it breaks the old chains, builds new ones. And then when you follow that with affirmations after your meditation, when your mind is the most suggestive, the theta wave is when you begin to build in the new belief systems. And then finally is goal setting. Okay? Dr. Eddie mentioned it a little bit ago. Guys, we need to have your goals. The mind is target-oriented. If you don't know where you're going, how do you know what you need to do? And that's what we're going to help you do. So as each one of you guys lay out your goals, your practice goals, and we'll help all on the other stuff as well too. But as you lay your practice goals out, we now have a path to success. success can never be born out of randomness. It just doesn't happen. It's one of the universal laws. There has to be order in chaos for success to occur. So what you need to have for us, I'm going to ask before we get off the phone here today, a commitment is one, you're going to have your, remember, it's just your practice goals, okay? So for just for September, over the next 30 days, how many new patients, how many visits, what's your services, what's your income? That's it. We're going to start really small, really, really easy. And then he talked about purpose statement. Your purpose statement is what's in here. Well, people say, how do I write a purpose statement? I don't know. Open your heart and find out what the hell's in it. Okay? That's what meditation does. It gets you in your heart. Like, what makes you, in other words, like my granddaughter, you know, she opens my heart, right? For some people, it could be going for a walk in the woods. They get connected to nature. They get inside their head. They get with their thoughts. What's in your heart? What do you want to do with your career? Did you become simply a chiropractor to make money and you like the term doctor? Or did you have a passion to help people? Do you have a passion to change lives? Do you have a passion to have your life mean something? Do you have a passion to leave a legacy? So your kids and grandkids could look back and go, you know what? My dad, my mom made a difference, changed a lot of lives. Because that's all that we're ever going to be known for. They don't go, you know, my dad, my grandpa had this really cool ATV. No one really gives a shit. So what's in your heart? And that's what your purpose statement. Just write what's in your heart, and then we'll help you construct it and break it down. But a couple of sentences. What's in your heart? What do you want? What your purpose is what do you want to be known for? Right? Why did you become a chiropractor? Why did you get into this profession? So the 8 habits is what we're talking about, creating a morning routine to build your success through intention. Be who you are. Dream as often as you can. Surround yourself with great people, mentors, this group, okay? We're going to help you identify what your value system is. Affirm as much as you can. Watch your words. Your words matter, right? Have written goals, and every morning spend a little time in quietness. That's how easy it is. You can do it in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or an hour. It doesn't really give a shit. The thing is, it's the habit. It's the habit. And I've been doing it now for 20-something years. And when I first started, I'll admit, I was very inconsistent because it takes a while to create a habit, right? There's a morning you want to sleep in. It's cold, it's raining, I'm going to sleep in. All right, so I sleep in. But I get up the next morning and I do it, okay? Or the kids slept, you know, were up all night and you just, you know, you got no energy. I get it. Those things happen. But you need to create that habit, that routine, because the one thing I've identified for those who are most successful I've met in my life, every single one of them, their success was intentional and they have a system to create success in their life. It wasn't random, not at all. So that was really my rant of the day. Sorry about that. But as you can tell, I'm really, really passionate about this stuff because these things changed my life. It changed my marriage. It changed my business. And I became an entrepreneur as a result of that. I teach other people this stuff. It's literally changed my life. And it's because of these 8 habits. If I didn't adopt these into my life, I'm telling you, I would have been a major screw up. And I'm a simple guy. I like systems. The more systematized it is, the easier it is to follow, the more likely I'm going to follow through with it. So systems. That's why I like it. That's why I wrote the book to create, help people to share what the system was. So the question I have, and I want to answer it, I want you guys to answer quickly is, how committed on a scale of 0 to 10 are you to creating your own system? And if you have engaged in the system, how committed are you to starting that system back up again? Let me unmute you guys. So Josh, quickly, you.
10.
Awesome. Brittany.
10.
Dustin?
It's got to be a 10.
I like it. So everyone agree it's going to be a 10?
10, yep.
All right, because Dr. Eddie and I do it, and we want you guys – so if someone would say outside looking in, and maybe you guys have thought this, say, well, you guys are successful because you're drivers, you're assertors, you got these personalities, you know how to speak, right? And I would tell you that's horseshit. Because I know a lot of other people who are not driver personalities who are really successful. But what we all share in common is a success system, a commitment to it as well. Would you agree, Dr. Eddie?
This stuff's been around for decades and decades and decades. And all the biggest players ever in any industry have had a morning routine, same or similar, because it's a little different for everybody. Because you morph it to what's good for you, what works for you. But yes, I agree. I mean, it's just a great way to get everything rolling and get your mind ready, because every day is going to bring its own obstacles. So if we're already mentally prepared for whatever that day might throw at us, we're gonna set ourselves up for a lot more success, and you're going to be a lot happier while you're doing it too. So I mean, this stuff. Read the book, obviously. This is powerful. I never thought that I would be doing this stuff. Let me tell you, I played basketball. I'm from a small town. I lived on a farm. And I started hearing this stuff from Dr. J when I got in practice, and I was doing really good for what I was doing. And then I started doing it, and I'm just like, oh my God, like the level of joy and just fulfillment and content almost to a certain stage. My wife would tell you I'm never content, but to a certain level, you know, it just is a game changer. It's a game changer. So if you do anything, just take the 20 minutes or 30. I do a 45 minutes is mine. I know Dr. J does like 20. Everybody's got a different time frame. It's what works. Just do the gratitude, do the affirmations, and set it up just to succeed, because you guys are all doing great, but we all want to do this, you know, we want to level up a bit. So put the work in.
Did you guys get in the email that was sent out after the last call, did you get the link for the personality profile? Okay. Absolutely need you guys to do that. Now I know Dr. Josh, we got a history together, so I know Dr. Josh what your personality type is. But unless you want to take it again, see if it's modified.
So I just wanted to clarify, just because that one, so there was like multiple Enneagram type things, so I'm not totally sure if the BEMJ or the EMJ type thing came up for everybody. So hopefully I didn't do the wrong one, but I did two different ones just to try and figure things out. So,
okay.
How many questions are on it?
120 or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I did over 100 questions.
Okay. So the personality profiling guide is really important. If you haven't done one before, it's really good to help understand how you're wired, how your brain is wired. There are 9 different personality types. There's 9 people on the phone here, and there's 9 different personality types. And literally, you can predict how you're going to show up when you're in a good place and when you're stressed out. So it's getting to know who you are, getting for us to know who you are, right? And the more you understand these personality typing, you can better predict how you know, like if, so for me, I'm an 8 Enneagram, which is considered a natural leader, but an 8 Enneagram personality trait is they're anger based. So when they get frustrated, when they get upset, they naturally go to anger. So it's a way for me to trigger, to understand I'm moving towards an unhealthy side of my personality, right? So I can be intentional to shift that. And you all have different triggers. So the more we know who we are, right, the better off we're going to be in being able to predict our environment and show up the best in our environment each and every day. What Dr. Eddie mentioned before was when you prepare your day with your morning routine, you can literally see and visualize your day and your outcome. You can also visualize if something goes wrong, how do you choose to show up in that moment? Okay. So you actually can show and how and put in your mind when adversity occurs, how are you going to handle it? So it's really great stuff. So do the personality testing, get the goal setting stuff done, And it's Tuesday. Can everyone commit to have that stuff back to us by Friday? Awesome.
We need the metrics you're at right now too, and then the goal, because then, because this call actually went, we were going to go through goal setting today, but without having everybody's goals, it's impossible. So please get this stuff done, because this is the foundation. We can't get to day one, day two, day threes, any of the sales process you guys want to know about until we see where we're at, and then we see where we need to go, kind of thing.
Yeah, so Dr. Eddie brought up a really, really good point there is, we just want your numbers, okay? We're going to help you with action steps to get the, right? Because there's different aspects of goals. So what is the goal? Right? So what do you want? The number, okay? And we're just simply talking numbers. And then there's the why part of it. This is the most important part of the goal, right? Why do you want to accomplish that? And then there is the action steps. What do I need to do to make that happen? And then the when do I want it by? So we're going to teach you goal setting process, because it's one of the most elementary but still fundamental tools that all successful people use.
So, anybody practicing today besides Dr. Luke? Yeah?
I go in this
afternoon. He's the only one with a collar shirt on. That's why I was asking. Cool. All
right. Missed the memo.
What's that?
I said I must have missed the memo that everybody takes Tuesdays off.
Oh, yeah, you know.
Hey, guys, quickly, how many of you have asked to join the Inner Circle VIP group?
I'm actually already a part of it.
Yes, Dino, I think you're a part of it, yes.
I think I'm a part of it, too.
Luke's a part of it. Brittany, I don't think you are yet. Are you still on?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So go to the group and ask to be invited, and then obviously we'll let you in. And then guys, go up to the top here and click on notifications. So you get notified when we put a post up. Sometimes we'll put, I'll put articles up. We do Facebook Lives, like open Q&As. So all kinds of stuff that we share there. So turn on your notifications so you can make sure that you're getting timely information there.
It always freaks me out when you do a screen sharing thing. There's a lot going on there.
So as we close up today, any thoughts, guys? Any feedback at all?
I love where this is going. We're making strides.
Cool.
One day at a time, baby.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, guys. See you in 2 weeks. Have a great rest of the day.
Have a great one, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Be well.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.